This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 58 of the Quran, which is in Surah Ali Imran, the third juz of the Quran. In the previous episode, we were mentioning the story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the portion of the story towards the end that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then how people differed concerning him, and how some people elevated his status beyond that which Allah Azza wa Jalla had afforded to him, essentially making him a god besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping him besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relayed or established for us a number of principles of the one who rejects the worship of Allah will be punished, and the one who worships Allah Azza wa Jalla alone will be honored and rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in the previous episode, we mentioned how Allah Azza wa Jalla says that even the logic that is used to say that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God is a faulty logic. Because with that logic, there is a prophet that is more worthy of that assertion than Isa alayhi salam, and that is our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was willing to make mubahala, to incur the wrath of Allah upon himself or the opposing group, whichever one was not speaking the truth, as is mentioned in the Sunnah, when a group of people came to him from Najran, this area of the Arabian Peninsula. They were Christians and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was ready to make this type of mubahala, this open type of incurring the wrath and anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon whichever party is untruthful. And he presented himself with his family members sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that indeed this is the truth. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's passage, or this page that inshallah ta'ala we're going to cover today, continues in that same theme, continues in that same message. And that is those people who don't worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone from the people of the previous scriptures, claiming that actually, no, this was the way of those prophets, Musa, Isa, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. These false claims that they make, that this was the religion that their prophets left them upon. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that, no, it was not. No prophet or messenger of Allah called to anything besides Tawheed. And nor will you find within your scriptures such a call, a clear-cut call to anything other than the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we begin today's episode with verse number 64 from Surah Ali Imran, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. Say, O people of the scripture, let us arrive at a statement that is common to all of us, that we all agree upon, that we worship one God alone, we ascribe no partner to him, and none of us takes others besides Allah as lords. If they turn away, then say, as for us, we are ones who submit to Allah Azza wa Jal, we devote ourselves to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse, which is verse 64 of Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran, it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would write this verse when he was corresponding with the leaders, with the other kings of the world of his time, especially the Christian kings. So there were a number of rulers and leaders of that time, obviously, that were Christian in terms of their belief. When he would correspond, because we know that a time came towards the end of his life sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he was writing and corresponding with some of these leaders, whether from the Byzantine Romans or the Persians or some of the other kingdoms that existed around the area surrounding in Arabia and around Arabia. And one of the things that he would write, to one of the verses that he would command be written in that correspondence to the Christian lords and kings and the Jews and so on, is this verse, verse 64 in Surah Ali Imran. And that is because it speaks about the common ground. If this is what we find in all of the divine scriptures, then let us stay upon this, and everything else therefore can't be true because there are discrepancies here and there. It is also said that the Prophet ﷺ would sometimes recite this verse in his sunnahs of Fajr. So the sunnah prayers of Fajr, Salah, it is said that he would also recite this verse sometimes in it, and that is because of how comprehensive it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing the people of those scriptures who came before, primarily therefore the Jews and the Christians, he says, say to them, ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa, let us arrive at a common statement, common ground, something that all of us can agree upon. Because that is because all of these previous nations, the Jews, the Christians, they all claim to worship God alone. Even the Christians, who say that there is a Trinity, and they essentially say that they are worshipping one God. They claim, all of them are monotheistic religions in claim. In reality, obviously, as we know, that is not the case, because we disagree with them on a number of fundamental issues. But the claim is there. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, let us come to the common ground that all of us do agree upon. The part of this claim that all of us can agree upon is that Allah Azza wa Jalla should be worshipped alone. That there is only one true God. لا نشرك به شيئا. There should be no God besides him. ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله. And that we should take not one another as lords besides Allah, as gods besides Allah. Meaning that no human should have any party to this. No human should have any portion of the divine, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Let us all agree upon this. So this is the call that is made to all of the people of the Christians and the Jews and so on. That all of us, let us agree upon the aspect of Tawheed, which they find in their scriptures, just as we find in the Quran, which is the same message that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to each and every single prophet and messenger, that they should call their people to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran elsewhere, as you will mention when we come onto that portion of the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We sent to every single nation a messenger. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, their call being, worship Allah alone, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, stay away from the false deities. And the false deity is everything and anything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore this was the claim made by all of the prophets of Allah. Let us stay and stick to this. This is essentially what is going to be the theme of today's page that we're going to be discussing, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to say in your scriptures, this is what you find. Why don't you just stick to this? Why have you gone overboard? Why have you transgressed? Why have you manipulated, distorted your religion to include other things that are alien to it? Just as you find in our religion, the religion of, or the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the revelation of the Quran, you find this pristine, pure call to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone and his Tawheed. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, but if they turn away, then say, as for us, we're Muslims. As for us, we submit to Allah and show our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following what we find within his revelation and without going overboard in any of these issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 65, again on a similar theme, speaking to the people of the scriptures, يَا أَهْدَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاةُ وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاةُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِنُونَ. O people of the scriptures, why do you argue about Ibrahim when the Torah and the Gospels were not revealed until after his time? Do you not understand? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the people of the scriptures, all of them, we all accept the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is why we often call the Abrahamic faiths. The Muslims, the Jews, the Christians often are referred to as the Abrahamic faiths. All of us believe in and accept the position and the status of this mighty messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, why do you debate over him? Meaning each one claims that he's ours. The Jews say, no, Ibrahim, we're upon his path. And the Muslims say, we're upon his path. And the Christians say, we're upon his path. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, O people of the scriptures, you Jews and Christians, you say that you're upon the path of Ibrahim, but what was Ibrahim upon then? Because you say that what you find is only in the Torah, only in the Injil. So if you say that Jesus was the Son of God, then what was Ibrahim worshipping? Who was Ibrahim worshipping? Isa alayhi salam hadn't come down at that time. There was no Isa alayhi salam. So what was he worshipping then? And if he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with no partner, no son, no one else, then why isn't that sufficient for you? And the same goes for the Jews as well. As for the Muslims, we believe that we're on that path of Ibrahim, because we're following exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam was following, and that is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so Allah azza wa jalla is saying that this argument that you make, the claim that you make, each one of you saying and trying to claim Ibrahim alayhi salam for himself, that is something which is incorrect. Because what you are doing is alien to the path of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And that is why, as we said in the previous episode, even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you had those people amongst the Arabs and in the Quraysh who were upon the way of Ibrahim, and that is that they shunned the idolatry and the polytheistic practices of their people. They wouldn't worship idols and they wouldn't worship these stones and trees and so on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were known as being the people of the religion of Ibrahim, or Hanifiyin, the people that were upon the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They wouldn't eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols. They wouldn't take these oaths by their idols. They wouldn't do any of the practices that were prevalent amongst their time. Because even amongst the Quraysh and amongst the Arabs, they recognized that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was free of these practices that then later became prominent and became widespread amongst Arabia. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying the same thing here with relation to the Jews and the Christians. The religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that he was a Muslim, that he submitted to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so therefore that is the common ground that we find amongst all of these religions, that Allah Azza wa Jalla should be worshipped alone with no partner, no son, no helper, no spouse, nothing, no one except and besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In verse 66, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ حَاجَجْتُمْ فِي مَا لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You argue about some of the things of which you have knowledge, but why do you argue about things which you have not, of which you know nothing? Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows and you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have in your scriptures knowledge that you can use, in terms of your arguments, in terms of establishing your beliefs. If you look at your scriptures, you will find the prophecies that were given of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will see within them the calls to the tawheed and the worship of Allah azza wa jalla alone. You will see all of these things in your scriptures. So why don't you use them instead of making claims that you cannot support of your scriptures? The claims of not accepting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the claims of denying worshipping Allah azza wa jalla alone, the claims that the other prophets, Ibrahim and others, were upon this way. These are things that are not substantiated in your own scriptures, in your own evidences. So why are you making claims then that you can't substantiate? And that is why in our religion, as Islam, in Islam as we know, the Muslim is the one who follows revelation. Muslims are commanded to follow the book of Allah, to follow the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you find your religion is in accordance to what is in those two sources, the Quran and the sunnah, know that it is correct and it is something which Allah azza wa jalla has legislated. And if you don't find that practice, you don't find that belief in either the Quran or the Sunnah, then know that it's something which is alien, something which is foreign, something which should be rejected and not followed. And that is what makes us as Muslims different to the people of other religions. It's not about our whims, it's not about our desires, it's not about our people or our nation or our family or our culture or our tribe, our clan. It is about revelation. What did Allah Azza wa Jal want from us? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command? And then irrespective of your language, your caste, your nation, your tribe, your color, your whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has united you upon what is guidance and what is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 67, showing therefore the reality of the situation, that these people who came before and they claimed to worship Ibrahim, or they claim to worship other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they substantiate it as being the religion of the prophets, that this is what we find in scripture and so on. And those people who lay claim to Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he is free of their practices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 67, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian. he was upright and devoted to Allah, never an idolater. And so if Ibrahim alayhi salam wasn't there before Christianity, was there before Christianity existed, so he can't have been a Christian, and he was there before Judaism existed, so he can't have been a Jew, then what was he? What was he called? We as Muslims believe that all of these messengers and prophets of Allah were Muslims. They were called Muslims, and they believed in Islam, and they worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that Ibrahim alayhi salam was neither a Jew, nor was he a Christian. What was he? He was Hanif and Muslima, an upright, devoted Muslim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never from amongst the idolaters. In verse 68, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the people who are closest to Ibrahim are those who truly follow his ways, this prophet and the true believers. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal is the wali, the ally of those who are mu'mineen, the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who therefore have most right to Ibrahim, if he wasn't a Jew, he wasn't a Christian, he didn't worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he didn't call to other than the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has most right to Ibrahim are those who truly followed him. Whether that's at his time when he was sent as a messenger of Allah, the people who followed him and his path alayhi salam, or those people who follow in his footsteps, and that is this prophet, meaning our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore the people who follow him. And that is why in our religion, as we know, Ibrahim alayhi salam has an elevated, honored, respected status. And we are told, as Allah Azza wa Jal commands us in the Quran, to follow him. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. There is in Ibrahim a good example for you, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran. And many of the aspects of our worship, especially when it comes to pilgrimage, the Hajj and the Umrah, is taken from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam has a status within our religion. And it is a status that is honored and it is respected. And the crux of that status, or the foundation of that status, is that we follow his message, and that is the message of all of the prophets and messengers, including our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So you can see, therefore, in the number of episodes that we've done so far throughout Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, that one of the core messages of the Quran that is repeated, emphasized, mentioned in so many different ways, is establishing this principle of Tawheed. There is nothing more important, nothing more pivotal in the life of a person than to understand this one concept, the concept of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Look at how many times it is emphasized, how many different ways it is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the difference between salvation and damnation, the difference between Allah's reward and his punishment, to believe and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this here once again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 69, وَدَّ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُضِلُّونَكُمْ وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Some of the people of the book would dearly love to lead you astray, but they only lead themselves astray, though they do not realize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of the book would love, or a group from amongst them would love to cause you to go astray, just as they are astray. They would love for you to go and be a Christian or a Jew, or to follow another path other than the path that you were upon, referring to, obviously, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is something which they would love. And essentially that is what they wanted. They wanted this final messenger to be from amongst them. The Christians wanted to lay claim to him. The Jews wanted to lay claim to him. They wanted him to be an extension of their own tradition. But Allah Azza wa Jal, through his infinite wisdom and knowledge, he sent him amongst the Arabs so that he would not be claimed by only one group over another, but rather that he would be a universal messenger for all of mankind. Allah Azza wa Jal says that they would want you to go astray by following them, but they only lead themselves astray because they are neglecting the true message that you have brought, and they're allowing their emotions, their biases, their alliances to overcome guidance, or to overcome the truth in terms of the guidance that they should be following. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 70, Ya ahlal kitabi lima takfuruna bi ayati Allahi wa antum tashhadun. O people of the book, why do you deny Allah's revelations when you can see that they are true? Meaning you see the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you see the signs that were brought by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you see the prophecies that are mentioned in your own scriptures. Why are you disbelieving and denying in all of that whilst it is present amongst you? And that is why the in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were a number of Christians and Jews, as we've mentioned before, that accepted Islam, not least of them being the famous illustrious companion Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu an, who was from the Jews of Medina that accepted Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that you have these signs. If you were sincere, you would follow then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In verse number 71, which is the first verse of the next page, and we'll finish with this verse, because Allah Azza wa Jalla again addresses the people of the book, and He says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O people of the book, why do you mix truth with falsehood? Why do you hide the truth when you recognize it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore is saying to the people of the book, why do you reject the truth when you know the truth in your book? And why do you also mix the truth with falsehood? And why do you hide the truth when you recognize it? And that is because they will accept certain elements and then they will change it. They say that we only worship one God, but then they say that Jesus was the Son of God. And the two claims then become a contradiction and they become problematic. And so they mix some of the truth with some of the falsehood. They accept certain things and they reject other things. They say we believe in all of the messengers, but then they reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that do not mix the truth with falsehood, nor reject the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla that you see. Even though these verses are primarily about the people of the scripture, the people of the book, it is important to note as Muslims that these are principles that apply to us as well. When you find revelation in the Quran and the Sunnah, don't reject it, as some people do when they come across verses of the Quran or a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They reject, they distort, they misinterpret, they try to, in one way or another, try to explain it away. And sometimes what Muslims do is they mix elements of truth with falsehood. They mix some of what they find in revelation with some of the desires that they want to follow. And that is something that has happened throughout the ages in Muslim history as well. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning us, this is not the way of the believers. The believers are those who follow revelation, what they find in the Quran, what they find in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they follow it to the best of their ability. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.